Experts claim there is nothing tougher than a diamond. But at Diamonds Direct, we beg to differ. Have you ever met a mother? Strong, radiant, timeless. This Mother's Day, give her the gift that meets her match. With diamond jewelry starting at $200, plus Diamonds Direct's exceptional quality and unbeatable everyday price, you're sure to give her a gift that wows this generation and the next to come. Experience the thrill of jewelry shopping done right at Diamonds Direct. Diamonds Direct. Your love, our passion.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Audio.
What's up, Mother Suckers? Welcome to another episode of Mother Sucker Podcast. I'm your host, Michael Blackson. I'm never alone. I got a whole Chinese nigga with me.
Hey, this is Chinese best friend. That energy you got, Mike, is like a damn lightning the other day in Los Angeles County. Did you see that in San Diego or no?
What the fuck are you talking about?
It was the biggest lightning ever in
history. There was a lightning. We was in San Diego shooting a show. We just heard a lot of lightning. The lights went out, actually, at the hotel.
Oh, shit. Got hit by lightning then.
Dog, lights went out, and you know what happens to me in the dark.
You glow in the dark?
Don't be a smart-ass motherfucker.
They couldn't find you?
Exactly.
Holy shit. This is going to be an empty episode of Couples Retreat. Just Miss Rada Darling talking to herself.
Yeah, the lights was out, so then we had to light candles. But before the candles, I had to use my phone. Like, I just turned the light on.
Hey, guys, I'm here. Yeah, like that.
It was crazy, man. What you wearing tonight? You just look like a homeless nigga, Tony's best friend.
Yeah, Mike, your friends stopped giving me clothing.
Why?
Yeah, I guess nobody buys after I wear it. So they're going bankrupt. So they're
Don't
supposed
worry,
to give
man.
It to you, mother sucker.
Well, this is also from a guy.
Nice one.
This is from a guy in Ghana, actually. He made this for me. I forgot his name, but I'm gonna shout
him out.
Same
guy that you wore.
Nah, this is a different guy.
Wow.
I don't like the collar too much on this shirt.
It's too close.
Yeah, it looks like fucking Bobby Brady shit. You know what I mean? Like Bobby Brady wore this. The Brady Bunch. That's the way we became the Brady Bunch. There was Cindy in the number 77. And the 72 that sister. There were three girls that were together. Yet they were all alone. There was one day when this fellow met this lady.
I think that's the wrong song, Mike. You have the tone.
That was back in the day, those were the real fucking shows, man.
Yeah, I watched them.
The Brady Bunch, Cindy. It was Cindy Marshall, and what's the chick in the middle?
Cindy Marshall and...
Cindy was the youngest, Marshall was the oldest. It was the one in the middle that just got no love. Nobody loved her. She couldn't get no dick. Couldn't
big
get
old
no
braces.
Dick. Big braces. She just got no fucking love. Till today, she's probably still a lonely bitch.
Is she still alive?
I'm sure they're still alive. She probably still live at that same fucking house. Remember, it's like one floor, you know.
Oh, they still have that house.
It is.
It was for sale 2 years ago.
Get out of here.
Yeah, it was on TMZ. But the problem is they couldn't do anything renovations outside.
Cause it's what was one of your favorite shows growing up?
My favorite shows is Will Smith show, Fresh Prince.
Sing the song, then.
How do you start it, Mike?
You don't know the Fresh Prince, Fresh Prince of Bel-Air song?
Not anymore. I've been watching.
How did it start? Let me figure out how it start, and it will. I forgot how it started.
I would know how to sing it.
Why not?
I would know how to sing it if you started.
Oh, okay.
I've watched all episodes. My favorite was Carlton Banks.
Oh, you like Carlton? Why? Yeah. You guys have a lot in common, you think?
Yeah, you know, he just dances nice.
But I like Different Strokes. Different strokes to the world. Everybody got a special kind of story. Everybody's having the same song. It don't matter what you say, but the Different Strokes to the world.
Mike, after Different Strokes, listen to this
after
different song, they're going to file a lawsuit against you.
After Different Strokes, Facts of Life. The Facts of Life. The Facts of Life. It's the Facts of Life. Take the good, you take the bad. Take the good, take the bad. That's right, motherfuckers. How about the Jeffersons? Moving on up through these earth. You finally got a piece of the pie. Fuck the 80s and 70s, man. Let's talk about right now, 2021.
Mike, I think that COVID vaccine had a big effect on your body today.
Thanks, Chinese best friend.
Yeah, we got to
follow. Well, you know, I went on a Twitter rant today.
Yeah, what happened? Yeah, it was a big issue.
I finally watched Dave Chappelle's special. Did you watch it?
Yeah, I watched a clip of it.
Just a fucking clip, nigga?
Yeah, I just want to hear it.
There's nothing else on TV, man. You got to watch Dave. Dave is just about, he's like the funniest one right now.
Mike, don't underestimate yourself. I think you're the funniest man alive right now.
I know, but I don't have a special. If I had a special, mine would definitely top his. But right now, he has a special. He had like fucking 6-7 of them niggas.
For real?
You know what I mean? His latest one, was funny. It's always funny.
Yeah.
He talked about the baby.
Oh, the baby, yeah.
He talked about the baby having
having a baby?
No, the baby. What's up with all these baby names? Like little baby, the baby.
Big baby.
Big baby Davis and little baby. And in Africa, all the singers are boy.
Yeah.
What's his fucking Stone Boy?
Stone Boy, Burner Boy.
What's the other boy name, Rada?
Fire Boy?
All these boys. And then there's a kid, Whiskey.
Yeah, what's going on with that?
None of these guys are growing up. The Americans are not growing up. The Africans are not growing up. The Africans are all boys. The Americans are all the baby.
They want to be a baby forever.
What's going to happen when the baby becomes 90 years old? He's going to be the grown up or the old motherfucker?
He'll probably keep his name, Mike, because that will...
Well, I made a post about... Because Dave Chappelle says something about, you know, the baby... how the baby shot and killed somebody.
At Walmart.
The thing about it, did you know that?
Hell no. After that, I Googled it too.
Yes, we all Googled it. Google got very famous today. Okay? I Googled it. I didn't know. And I'm sure the LGBT community did not know either that he killed somebody. Oh. So now Dave said, he said the baby killed somebody.
Yeah.
And didn't get in trouble. His career was still the same.
Yeah.
But then he made fun of a gay person. He made fun of gay people, and then the guy shut him down.
They shut him down.
We got the message. Definitely got the message. But there's another message in there, too. Dave low-key snitched on the baby. He low-key snitched on him because the LGBT community did not know this nigga killed anybody.
Oh, shit.
Now they're going to call him homophobic and a murderer.
Hopefully the one he killed wasn't lesbian.
Chinese best friend. Seriously, what the fuck are you talking about?
I mean, the guy that he shot.
Wasn't good. Then it wasn't. He shot him in a Walmart fruit aisle.
Fruit aisle.
But oh no, they got. Boy, was self defense. The guy tried to rob him.
Rob him.
You know. And one thing I know is about the baby. The baby is one. What I like about this guy. This guy has never been Hollywood. This guy, he goes out by himself.
Huh?
Oh yeah, he's a brave kid, man. Because he's hood kid.
He carries a gun everywhere he goes.
But you know, the baby, you are you are a star. You got to have somebody with you.
Yeah.
There ain't be nowhere by yourself. And in fact, when I was in Charlotte one time,
I went to a store in the mall, and their baby was there by himself.
No way.
We shot a little comedic video together.
Oh, that's the one that...
Yeah.
He was trying to attack you.
It was so funny. He has a sense of humor, too, man. That's my nigga. But yeah, so I made a post about Dave Chappelle did not help the baby by reminding everybody that he killed somebody, because I didn't know.
Yeah.
A lot of people didn't know.
I didn't know.
Exactly. You see? So now I'm like, I was like, huh? What?
The first thing I did was Google, too.
Yeah, Google got really rich today. We didn't get none of that money either.
Hey, Mike, you went pretty viral. Hollywood Unlocked post you. TMZ post you.
Worst
Shade Room post you.
Shade Room did not post
Pornhub post you.
Pornhub did not post me.
Mike, yeah, you're trending next to the baby.
I hope not in Pornhub.
Well, I didn't check yet. I usually check.
You have a Pornhub Google account?
No, everybody have that.
All right, what else going on? Some other things went on.
What did Dave Chappelle say, Michael Blackson?
You know what? He hasn't said nothing yet. I'm going to see him tomorrow. I'm going to see him tomorrow, and I'm going to call him a snitch. You snitch on the baby, my nigga.
Shit. Can I come?
Chinese.
I want to get that on video.
No, you gotta, all right, I'll think about it, man. Every time you come somewhere, you embarrass me.
Yeah. Oh, come on, Mikey.
Last time we hung out with 50 Cent, you fucking embarrassed me, Chinese best
friend. He was speaking to me in Tagalog.
Yeah, he was saying, get the fuck out of my face in Tagalog.
I didn't hear it, Mike. The music was loud. They were playing the, it's your birthday, it's your birthday. We're going to party like it's your birthday. Dave Chappelle
right,
speaks Tagalog.
Everybody kept
too.
Looking at him like, who is this Chinese nigga that is keep tapping 50 Cent on the shoulder?
Hey, 50.
I'm like, leave this nigga alone. What the fuck is wrong with you? Then you started bothering Chris Brown. You have no shame?
I just found out about, I don't have shame. Well, 50 Cent gave me a lot of 50 liquor. That's what happened. I wanted to thank him. He poured it all over.
All over what?
All over my cup and my pants. He was going like that.
All right, well, fuck it, Chinese best friend. We have a whole guest here.
We have a whole guest?
Yes, I've been fucking with this nigga for a very long time. I met him probably in New York for the first time, but we've known on each other because, you know, he's a reality star. He's also a producer. He does it all. From New York. Dead ass. Facts. Word to the mother, son. From Love and Hip Hop. He's probably been in all of them.
He was in every single one. Like 20
I think
years.
He is. Ladies and gentlemen, Cisco's in the building. Come on in.
Cisco in the house.
It's not the tonk, 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 Cisco.
You know, Mike told me Cisco's in the house today, and I was like, oh, Mike, is that the guy that sing the tong, the tong, tong, tong song?
No, I get that all the time. You know what? That's not his real name.
It's not?
Mm-hmm. No, my real name is Francisco.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
So I always lay claim to that. I'm like, I don't know why people always, it's like I guess because he put it out first. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that was a good song. That was the first time I got my lap
Ten
dance.
10 seasons of, the thing about it, I think reality show has taken over soap operas and sitcoms. We are not interested in no fucking scripted show anymore. We want no real niggas' life. What's going on in your fucking life? We want to see fights and arguments. I mean, what's your input on that? You think that has taken over soap operas?
I remember growing up, right, in a Latin household, all my children and like One Life to Live and all that shit. Was on all day. My mom swore by that stuff.
She watched all the ABC shows.
All the ABC.
Yeah, well, Ryan's Hope, Loving. Hold up. Ryan's Hope, Loving, All My Children, One Life to Live.
Oh my God.
Then General Hospital. I used to watch all the ABC soap operas.
You forgot one thing. Days of Our Lives.
Nah, that's CBS, motherfucker. We're talking about ABC. I don't fucking bring that shit here.
But I think we definitely replaced that.
Oh yeah,
I don't think it exists anymore.
They still do.
They do that.
They got the old people still there, like Stefano and all those people. Yeah,
though most of them were there for a long time. They just got the fuck old
when
on that
they
show.
Die, yeah, they die and then they replace them with the grandkids that were there, and it just keeps going.
You mean like die on the show or die like in real life?
Well, die in real life and then whomever.
Don't pay this guy. This guy lost.
No, it's a true story, man. I watch it still.
You watch what? Chinese Best Friend?
Like Days of Our Lives.
Days of Our Life.
Yeah.
What's the black guy on Days of Our Life?
Oh, I know his name, but I can't think right now.
Is it Jesse?
No, it's somebody.
It
else.
Was Jesse.
See, motherfucker.
Angie's husband.
That's right.
He's still watching. Is he still alive?
I don't know.
Of course he's got
but Angie is, because she plays Tasha's mom on Power. Well,
yes.
She did, yeah.
Angie's did a lot.
Yeah.
Wow, she was a bad chick, because I was watching this in the late 80s, right?
Yeah, this was like early 90s.
Early 90s, yeah. Early 90s, yeah. Well, no, when I came to America like late 80s, and it was all, mind you, I didn't start school right away. I had to wait till I get some kind of paperwork to go to school. So I just watched the soap operas with my mom, and we used to like, you know, I used to look forward to it.
So Mike, you was born and raised in Africa?
Born and raised there, came to the States at 13 years old. You know what I mean? This ain't my interview, motherfucker. It's your shit.
Were you born in the United States or New York?
Are you born in New York?
I am born in New York. Both my parents were born and raised in Puerto Rico.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Jennifer Lopez is your neighbor.
Feliz Navidad.
That's Spanish. That's Mexico.
Feliz Navidad is not Mexican. That's Puerto Rican.
No.
Is Feliz Navidad Mexican or Puerto Rican?
Feliz Navidad is just a Latin term. It means Merry Christmas.
Yeah. I know that.
It's applicable to everybody.
Okay.
But in all fairness, when I'm here in L.A., people always assume that I'm Mexican. I get that all the time. I guess because of just being out here.
Oh, shit. He looks like the Cholo from Friday.
Yeah, you died from next Friday.
Yeah, he's a little taller.
Yeah. I get that all the time out here, I guess. You know what I mean? Like, so. But, I embrace all cultures. You know,
ain't nothing wrong with that, man. When you come to LA, you Mexican. You go back to New York, you Puerto Rican.
Puerto Rican. Yeah.
You go to Africa, you Egyptian, motherfucker. For real, because you look Egyptian.
No, I get that. And I also get light skinned black all the time.
Oh yeah, he does. Yeah. Look
people,
like
I mean, people I thought he was that. Black.
Yeah. People think that all the time.
Like, your mother was white, your dad was black, and then your neighbors was.
Well, my father's an Afro Latino, so he's of like a black man. You know what I mean?
So he's a Puerto Rican Afro Latino.
He's a Puerto Rican Afro Latino.
There are some Puerto Ricans that are as dark as me, right?
Yeah, not darker. Yeah, see? Are you kidding me?
Yeah, of course. There's Filipinos as dark as you.
I could be fucking Puerto Rican.
Now that I never seen.
My cousin was really dark. Curly hair.
Yeah, it's
too.
Called Indian, motherfucker.
No, Filipino, Mike. There's a lot of dark Filipino.
It's official, motherfucker. My Patreon page is now live. My weekly Titty Tuesday and Twerking Thursdays are moving exclusively to Patreon, where they could no longer be censored by the social media companies. I will also be sharing daily updates plus show announcements here first. See you on Patreon, you motherfuckers.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
Love and Hip Hop, 10 years.
Wow.
Yeah. How has it been?
You know, when I first, I wasn't going to do it at all in the beginning. Cause I
and
was
then
like,
child support was dues. Like,
and
I
then I was
work.
Like, yo, I got to pay these fucking bills. Now, I had wound up signing, I did a deal with Mona originally. I signed a deal for my own TV show. At the time, I was dating, I was dating a girl named Jennifer from Basketball Wives. So me and her, Jennifer Williams, so me and her signed a deal to get our own show. And then it just didn't work out, whatever. So that's when Mona was like, you know what, I'm doing this Love and Hip Hop thing. Why don't I just slide you and, you know, you do that? Okay. So I was kind of against it at first, you know what I'm saying? Because I didn't like the first season. But I said, all right, let me give it a shot, you know, because I wanted to kind of get into acting and just do stuff like that.
You wanted some real, because I could see him playing like a gangster in the movie, don't you?
Yeah, he should be a gangster.
Nah, man. Like,
but don't worry, actors don't pay no real money. Trust me, actors are not making no money.
Come on, Mike. Denzel Washington makes billions of dollars.
It's only one nigga, motherfucker. It's Denzel Washington. Okay, regular is. Trust me, I've not made much money from acting. I've made more money doing reality than acting. Mm. A lot more.
Because you don't go on auditions, Michael Blackson. If you went to Black Panther audition, you would have been the Black Panther.
He just did Coming to America.
I did Coming to America, motherfucker. I didn't have to audition because Eddie Murphy recommended me for that movie.
Yeah.
I mean, they couldn't have made that movie without you, though.
Thank you very
much. It would have made no fucking sense. Yeah, seriously.
You're the highlight of the movie, Mike.
Don't keep the Chinese best friend, you capping.
You are. No bullshit, Mike.
Yeah, they couldn't make that movie without you.
And they couldn't, you know. But then,
Rotimi too. Shout out to Rotimi.
Oh, yeah, Rotimi.
Because he reps Africa too. You know,
right, he does. You know he rep hard.
He rep hard. That's like what I'm saying.
Light skinned Nigerian dude. Shout out to Rotimi. Let's go back to Mona. Invited you to the Love of Hip Hop. Mona, right? Mona Scott.
Yeah, definitely.
And then what happened?
So Mona was like, I'm doing the Love of Hip Hop show. And they had just been, I think they aired like the first season already. It was like a half an hour back then. Mm-hmm. And then it was like, okay, we bump into an hour. And she was like, why don't you come do this? Because I was already signed to VH1. When I signed the deal for my own show, I signed for 7 years.
So is it like a holding deal?
Wow, 7 years.
Because I had my own show at first and it just collapsed.
It never happened. So they give you a holding deal. Holding deal is kind of like where they sign you and kind of hold you. You can't be, and they give you money, right?
They didn't give me no money back then. But this was 10 years ago. It was still new. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. But that's fucked up because back in the day, a lot of comedians look forward to a holding deal. Like in the 90s when a comedian was popping and then ABC, NBC, CBS liked him, for like a sitcom, they would hold him. They would put him on lockdown, give him $100,000 or $250,000.
To hold him over.
Like you can't go nowhere else and we'll see who could do something with you in a year. And you get to keep the money whether anything happened or not.
Wow.
So it was one guy named Maestro Clark. This guy made a living off of holding deals.
You know? I remember Maestro Clark. I know you're talking about. Of course.
He kind of looked like you a little bit.
Yeah, the comedian, yeah.
Right, so Maestro Clark had a lot of holding deal, but you know, hey, he made a living off that shit.
Where can we sign up on that holding deal?
Man, we're in a new era now, baby.
There's no holding deal?
It's possible. There's still ABC. They still give them. But I just feel like we are not... Our audience are not watching fucking
TV anymore.
Sitcoms anymore. No. I mean, the only sitcom we probably watch might be Blackish. And, you know, and no nigga here could tell me the last Blackish episode. You know what I mean? But it's probably the only sitcom that I think black people get and watch. It's not like back in the day with Family Matters and all those other shows that we look forward to. You know what I'm saying?
We don't have choice, Mike. We have only 7 channels in the fucking antenna. It is fucking
true. You know, honestly, I really feel like we, and it sounds crazy, but... I feel like reality television, we replaced a lot of that. You know what I mean? Because, and I'm not bullshitting. We were talking about this earlier today. I was at Station 1640, a nightclub here. This is 2 days ago. And a girl comes over to me and immediately she starts like repeating a scene that I did. You know what I mean? Like acting it out. Like, oh, you. When I told Peter Guns, oh, you know, you want that $10,000, come get it. You know, and I pulled it out of my pocket. So what I realized at that point, I said, yo, it's like, we are like what they would do, you know.
That's just tell you, is a new trend, man. It's a new trend. That's what everybody's doing. In fact, so he was just in San Diego doing the reunion, right? That we got just did the reunion. So now, Love and Hip Hop, I thought Love and Hip Hop was like, it had been a couple. So it's not about a couple because you don't have a girl on Love and Hip Hop.
Nah, I never have a real situation, a relationship.
You're just causing trouble with everybody.
I mean, you know, it was the way it was brought to me was like, we're going to just follow your life as a music producer. A lot of people don't know that I'm a music producer and songwriter.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Before. So I had my own room in Roc Nation and Jay-Z studio for like 4 years.
Oh, wow.
So I worked with everybody there. And that's how, like, Mona would come to me for the music. Mm. When she needed music for like the show and stuff like that. And that's the first record I ever did in Love & Hip Hop was a record for Tahiri, who never even made a song before. So that was kind of like how we kind of started the relationship. I was making the music for Love & Hip Hop first. And then it was like, okay, well, why don't you come and, you know, since you're signed already, you might as well just come and be on the camera side of it, you know? But I never thought it would be, like you said, 10 years later.
Damn, wow. Man, that's dope, man. So you got groupies there.
But I had a lot of women, like, attention from women before that. You know what I'm saying? Okay. I liked it better before that. I think anonymity is priceless. You know what I'm saying? If I can go back, I would love to be just, like...
Low key?
But like, nobody knows who I am. There's such a value in being...
Nobody knows who I am, sir. I don't get no side pussy. Last
well,
pussy
I
saw was a cat walking in front of me. He was like, shit, bad luck, turn around.
For real? I want to trade with you then. I think that's dope.
All right.
All right, so, well, yeah, you guys are, and so the family reunion comes out when? When does it come out?
I believe it comes out this month in October, from what I was told.
For real, that fast?
Yeah, from what I was told, we were shooting it and they were editing on the fly.
Nice, wow. Nice.
Yeah.
Wow. Is there any surprises? Should we expect anything crazy? Anything?
Yeah, and that's the family reunion show is going to be nuts. Like, it was... They took literally like 17 of us. They put us on the resort. Mm-hmm. It was me, Stevie J, Safari, Booby, Sin Santana, Yo-Yo. Shout out to Yo-Yo. Show me so much love since I've been out here.
Nice.
In California. And they made us like work out our differences. Mm. The problem was I had issues with everybody.
Okay.
Like in real life.
That's so exciting.
It was so built around a lot of my issues. Like, I was literally shooting every day, like 19 times a day, because everybody had a problem with me, or I had a problem with somebody from other, you know, from other situations that we had on or off the show. And I hadn't seen certain people in so many years that they was just like, okay, well, you got to address the issue with Safari, you got to address the issue with Sin, and so on and so forth. And then, so it became like, you know, the opportunity to do that. So it was a lot of arguments and some fights and some wild shit, but you know.
Man, I can't wait to watch that.
That's dope. So who was your favorite couple, like, as far as, or favorite person on this?
My favorite couple was Michael Blackson and Ryder. I think they dope.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That's my favorite couple.
Thank you very much.
I wanted to do Couples Retreat. Had I been with somebody at the time, I probably could have. You know what I mean? But on, you know, on the actual show that we did, you know, I seen what Erica and Safari was going through.
Right.
And I kind of related to it because I got divorced myself.
Okay.
So I seen him going through the ups and downs of it. And then me and him, you know, he like a little brother to me, but.
So now you're divorced in real life?
I'm divorced in real life, for real.
Wow, yeah. So you're a single man, bachelor?
I'm a single man.
Oh yeah. My God, you're a single man and Michael Blackson didn't bring all the Blackson's angels? You know how many girls are in here all the time?
Really?
Yeah.
My bad, I was hating.
Fuck, Mike.
I didn't want him to take my side chicks from me. You know what I mean? He looks like a gangster.
Yeah, he will probably keep them all, and they will never come back.
All right. So, Mike, you throw parties and stuff? Like, what's the... Give me the real deal. What goes on here?
He used to.
Nah, I throw parties once in a while. During COVID, it was no clubs was open, so it was just a Blackson club. We threw party, like, every weekend. Yeah. You know what I mean? So,
the thing about Mike, see, I want to say this, like I tell people, from my perspective, you know what I mean? Like, I've known Mike, and we run around each other for a long time. And I've always seen him as two different people. Mm-hmm. He's either like on 1,000, yo, motherfucker, you know, and just like the life of the room and just taking all the attention. Or you just get like Mike, like, hey, what's up, man?
The calm, normal human being, right?
Man, how's everything?
Well, usually he's that hyper.
No, that's fucked up because when my fans see me, they want that crazy. They want me all hyped up all the time, you know, because that's their characters on stage. You know, I go on stage real hype and crazy and cursing. So when they see me in person, they just pull out the phone, think I'm just gonna start acting crazy.
Yeah, they scream at him. We were eating
So is that a character that Donna asked you that? Is that a character that you slide into at certain points? You get what I'm saying?
What I mean, just on stage, or if I'm shooting a movie or I'm doing something. But like, you know, when in real life, I just want to chill. Just leave me the fuck alone. I don't be bitch nigga.
Mike, you're a hyper person in real life. Come on, you just had a fucking vaccine today. Usually you're running around hyper. You just had a vaccine.
You know what's funny? I get what he's coming from though, because I swear, like, people assume that because I act like really like crazy sometimes, like on television.
They think that's you.
Yeah, and they don't realize I'm quiet. Yeah. I'm an introvert by nature. I'm not very
introvert,
social.
That's inside or outside. I went to public school.
Nah, nigga, that
means this guy's using a lot of words that are...
Yeah, man, he's fucking educated for fucking being a Puerto Rican. Puerto Ricans usually drop out of 11th grade. 66
burgeritos.
I actually dropped out on the knife, man.
Told you, motherfucker. I knew this nigga dropped out
early. But I picked up a book, motherfucker. You know what I'm saying? So.
Yeah, but you can't read, motherfucker.
Yeah.
But yeah, so, wow. Now, I mean, how long will you do Love of Hip Hop for? I mean, it's 10 years. Do you enjoy it? I mean, is it feeling like a job? You know, it's like, you know, it's like, what sitcom lasted that long? Or what show? I mean, Blackish is over 10 years old, right?
It is already.
It's got to be. A lot of shows out there.
Episode, I mean, Seinfeld, Curb Your Enthusiasm is coming back
Friends,
for 11 season. You know, there's a lot of them.
The Simpsons.
And you guys, and the good thing about doing reality, you guys still make good money, right? It's decent.
I would say it's okay. I think that we could make more because it doesn't match the popularity. I tell you that. And I'm not even being funny. Like, I get DMs from people all over the world that watch this shit because they watch it online. Mm. I was in Times Square a couple months ago, and an Asian couple and that didn't speak a word of English was like, oh, that's a Cisco from that lovely hip hopper. Him right there. Ha. And I was like, oh, shit, what's up? You know what I'm saying? And like, so you surprise sometimes. Yeah, like, yeah, people fucking
they
know
translate
you.
Your words into a Chinese guy talking. You know that?
No, I didn't know that.
Oh, seriously, my God, there's a Chinese version of you.
Do you think
they do?
Do you think reality need like a union, like a SAG after type of thing?
Absolutely.
That'd be
think
great,
it's
wouldn't it?
Disrespectful. We just shot, and I know Mike did too. Mm-hmm. Because Mike just shot a show. Mike and Ryder shot a show with the same network at the same resort. In the same place.
Result?
Yeah, right after us. He took my room.
When he left, I moved into his room.
Yeah, really? They said, no, because I was trying to stay more. Like, Stevie J had Faith over, and they went and rented boats and shit. So people started, like, because we were on quarantine and isolation for weeks, you know, shooting the show. So we couldn't go, we couldn't interact with the whole, with the other side of the resort. We couldn't leave the resort. So by the time they wrapped it, we was like so ready to just fucking just hang out and party.
Yeah.
Everybody started staying late and like staying the extra day so we could, you know, do jet skis and pool and, you know, boats and shit. So I'm staying and I'm the last person there. And they're like, yo, you gotta go because Michael Blackson is waiting. You know what I'm saying? He's waiting for the room. You know what I'm saying? And I said, Mike's my man. Told me, just come upstairs, man. We'll share the room. You know what I mean? Ask Mimi, the showrunner, Paris. I don't want to leave. They're like, oh, you gotta go.
I would have let you stay on Sofa City. You could have stayed on the sofa. Because like, it was a big suite. So it's like a big living room with a dining room and a sofa. And then it's a bedroom. So me and Ryder, we took the bedroom. Who didn't have him stay in the living room?
I wasn't going to be in there anyway, man. I was going to be out there, you know, getting fucking boats and shit.
You should have texted me, nigga. I would have made sure.
Nah.
So where did you end up staying? In Holiday Inn?
No, so what happened was I left. And, the network sent the driver for me. I'm on my way to the airport. And I get halfway to the airport, and I'm like, you know what? I love it out here in California. I said, I'm going to get an apartment out here.
For real?
So I called the showrunner. I said, can you do me a favor? Can you reroute this car and take me to L.A.?
Damn.
I'm going to go to L.A. for 2 days and look for an apartment. And he's like, okay, cool. And they rerouted it. And that was 14 days ago.
Wow, you're still here.
Still here.
Are you going to be here forever, sir?
No, I really got to get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, you got to get out.
I got to get out of
here. But no, L.A. is pretty cool. You know what I mean? What I talk about L.A. is like, it's not an easy place to live for an entertainer. I mean, it's very expensive, you know, just like, you know, and L.A. people come to L.A. A lot of the models come from like Wyoming, Idaho. They be the baddest bitches. They be the baddest bitches in the state. When they come to L.A., they probably be the second ugliest. You know what I mean? So L.A. is not an easy place. You know, just as many people that come, people turn around every day. You know, but during the pandemic, a lot of apartments got cheap. So, you know, if you want a place, better hop on it now because.
But that's what Mike told me last night. So Mike says to me, because I'm telling him, you know, I'm having like a little heart to heart with him. I'm like, yo, Mike, I feel like I need to be out here. And he's like, yeah, nigga, but make sure, you know, you set up some shit and you're doing some things. He said, because I seen a lot of niggas come out here and go broke real fast.
Yeah, they become the homeless
This motherfucker told me he spent 20 grand between food, this and that, just been here for fucking 14 days.
Whoa.
Ain't no joke.
You're going to go broke. You spend that kind of money.
That's what I said. I got to get out of here.
That's a whole year's worth of rent.
After a few fucking boa and katanas and fucking Mr. Chow, your fucking family members.
They should give you for free.
I know. You would think
you gotta call them. Be like, hey, I'm coming down.
Hollywood don't give a fuck. Mel Gibson have to pay for his fucking food. Okay? I don't give a fuck about this Puerto Rican nigga.
Just say you're from the movie Friday.
No, but you know what's so funny? He's right, though. Like, it's really, I would really say that LA's the one place, for the most part, they really don't give a fuck who you are.
They don't give a fuck who you
that
are.
That shit works everywhere. Miami, yeah. New York, Atlanta. You could just, and it's like, oh, shit, he's here. Yeah. And then people get excited and they want pictures and autographs, all type of shit. LA people would be like, I fuck him.
So yeah, yeah, yeah.
There's no seats available. You got to wait an hour.
We don't give a fuck. Fucking Denzel is waiting in line too, motherfucker. LA's so expensive, everybody has a fucking roommate. Denzel Washington has a roommate. Seriously, man, this nigga is sharing $6,600 a month with another nigga.
Mike's roommate used to be, what's his name? Molly Mall. The guy that.
No.
Dog, when
don't,
I.
Don't say that, man, because people.
You look like Molly Mall.
Yo, I don't do it. I gotta go. So listen.
Hey, he has
don't
three bedrooms. Move anytime.
No, don't fucking do it.
No, no.
Man.
So it was like when I first came to LA, I came to LA. 2005, right?
Yeah.
So I had an apartment in Burbank. I had, I had one bedroom apartment in Burbank, and I went to this place called Mel's Diner on
Sherman Oaks
on Sunset and like past La Cienega.
Oh, right
Mel's
there.
Diner, yeah. So I'm at Mel's Diner, and then I saw this guy Mel. I didn't know him, but he knew who I was. You know what I mean? And then he approached me, "Hey man, Michael Blackson, motherfucker." So we became friends right away. And then, Molly Mall, he had like a big crazy house in Vegas, and he had a nice ass two-bedroom apartment at this place called The Legacy on Sunset, like near UCLA.
Yeah.
Very nice place. In fact, Barry Bonds had an apartment there. It was like, it was the first place where I lived, where the valet parked. Kind of like almost like where I live now. The valet parked the car.
Oh, shit.
You know what I mean? It's like, and it's like, back then it was two-bedroom. And it was like $5,000 a month.
That's a lot of money back then.
For 2005. He's like, Mike, I'm barely there. You know what I mean? You could take the second bedroom, just pay $1,000 a month. That would pay for the bills. I said, say less. So when my lease was up.
Wait a minute, hold on. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I thought this was a fucking joke.
$1,000.
That's serious.
It's true story.
I'm sorry. Yeah. You're telling me you really was roommates with Molly Mall?
We played was play Madden all the time. And then Molly had his fucking.
Right, he's making this shit up. Please.
No, it's true story. Yeah.
Please tell me.
I saw Molly Mall before he went to prison.
I got Molly Mall in a movie I was doing called Repo, a Master P movie.
I saw the movie.
You might have. Yeah, Molly Mall was a guy that, like, I repo his Rolls Royce or something. Yes. So
hilarious.
All we did was play Madden all day, and this motherfucker had a fucking cat that was mixed with a tiger.
Oh,
shit. Scared the shit out of me. So he'll every time he come from Vegas, he bring that fucking cat tiger with him.
So you had to babysit and feed the tigers. That's your duties
like,
for cheap rent.
This motherfucker was half tiger, half cat. It was like a lioneer. So what the fuck? I'm not sure what this fucking animal
just
was
brings
called.
It there?
Bring it in, scare the shit out of me. I'm like, yo, man, I might be
He's
African.
Gonna eat you.
Yeah, but he owned a bunch of like exotic animals.
Yeah, that's how he got locked up for.
All his animals are mixed, man. He will get up, he'll put a monkey with a rat and be like, fucking have a baby, motherfucker.
What's up, Marasokas? This is your African King of Comedy, Michael Blackson. I'm here to ask you a question. Are you subscribed to my podcast, the Mother Sucker Podcast with me, Michael Blackson? If not, you are missing out on the crazy interviews, the exclusive behind-the-scenes content of my life, and tons of VIP celebrity guests. So listen up, Mother Sucker. Stop what you are doing right now and go find the Mother Sucker Podcast with me, Michael Blackson, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast. Subscribe. It's free. So go do it. Right now. And don't forget to catch a new episode every Tuesday.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, We've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
So I did a season of Love and Hip Hop Hollywood, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm out here. The season's airing, and I'm thinking that I'm gonna get all this love from people. And when I'm walking down the fucking streets, people come. I just saw you last night, yo, Molly Mar. Let me get a picture. You know what I'm saying? And I was so fucking pissed off every time like, people come up to me, even though I was on the show, they still thought I was him for some fucking strange reason. It was crazy.
Wow.
Which I think we look different. I think I'm 6'5".
Yeah, he's
saying?
More like
he's like a husky. Yeah, he's a big
lighter.
Dude.
I think
he's in jail right now. Right?
Yeah, he's in jail for like some stuff like trading animals or
I forgot what it was.
Trading animals?
No, it wasn't. Shout out to Molly. Hope you get out. Free Molly Mall. Please.
Free Molly Mall. Free Molly Mall. Free Molly. Should we visit him in prison, Mike?
If I find out where he's at, I'll go visit him.
Molly Mall, please DM us.
Yeah, I'm sure they have phone in prison.
They have phones
man.
In prison.
Especially he probably be on IG Live.
Well, hold on, Mike. I know what you're saying. You know, it's more like because you're interviewing me, but this is really fucking interesting. So you roommated with Molly Mall?
Yeah, for about six to eight months, maybe a year.
And where did it go from there? Like for you?
I remember I ended up moving back to Philadelphia.
Back to the East Coast.
I went back to the East Coast. Okay. I remember I was just trying out LA. So what happened? You know, it was around the time my buzz has died. You know what I mean? Like I was hot in like 2000 when the movie Next Friday came out. I was hot, so I just I stayed in the East Coast and I'm just like making money, performing everywhere because I was in the hottest movie.
I don't think you ever got dull though.
No, I got dull.
You got dry?
So what happened? What usually when you get hot. Back in the day, what you're supposed to do is pack your bags, move to LA. Pack your bag, move to LA while you're hot because now people, you right there in their faces, they can see you, they know what's going on. This is how I knew that I made a mistake by not moving to LA back then. I had a beeper, I had a pager, right?
Yeah.
And the guy that directed Next Friday also directed Dr. Doolittle 2,
oh,
right?
That blew
and
up.
I never, because I wasn't around, I remember getting a fucking beep one time, but I replied like late.
Wasn't that F. Gary Gray?
No, it was David Carr.
Okay.
Shit, Dave, you could have had a Doolittle job.
Is it Dave Carr?
You could have been.
Yeah, that's his name. I could have been in Dr. Doolittle too.
Holy shit.
Yes.
I would have never known you, Michael Bloxham.
Because I was working at that time. I was still working for the airlines. When I stopped after like 9/11, I was working for the airlines part time.
So that was real too. I've heard you said that in your bit, but I didn't know if that was real.
Yeah, it was real. I worked for the airlines, and I only worked for them because I fly for free. And as I was able to come to LA, like on my days off, I come to LA and hit the comedy clubs. And that's how I happened to be performing one night, and Ice Cube was there, and he liked my stuff. So he had the lady that booked the show like, hey, call that guy, let him come audition for Next Friday. That's how I went on audition for Next Friday, and one thing led to another. But yeah, my buzz died. You know what I mean? Like around 03, 04, after 2 years of like, so I said, okay, let me try to come to LA now. And I was like 2005-ish. And it was like, this is how bad it was for me. I couldn't even get a chance to perform on the comedy clubs. They were having me do this thing called First Impression. First Impression is what it make people do that like not that popular or they don't think you're that funny. This is like 2005. Like I went to the Laugh Factory, which was a hot place to perform Sunday night. Sunday night is like
Chocolate
night.
Sunday.
Chocolate Sundays, right.
That's here?
Yeah, this in LA. Okay. So if you're here on a Sunday, go to the Laugh Factory on Sunday. So we had like improv on Monday. D-Ray hosted that, and he had Chocolate Sunday, and then he had Comedy Store on Tuesday. So I went to Chocolate Sunday, and these motherfuckers put me on like First Impression because that's how much my buzz was done. But don't get it wrong. I was still working, doing my shows in the East Coast, and I had my little townhouse back east. spending money there. And then I had an apartment here. I'm like, I'm just wasting money. I was like, fuck it. I'm just going to go back. I said, I'm not coming back to L.A. unless I'm coming for a paycheck. So I remember leaving back like 2006. I went back to Philly. And then I waited. And then I went back to Philly 2006. And then I remember like 2007. Mind you, I was making so much money. I was making money. You know, I saved up my money. I built a house. You know, built my first real house, $550,000.
Wow, you built that yourself? Wait, in Philly? With your own hands?
It was in Delaware. So Delaware. Yeah, Delaware, because Delaware is like a no state. It's no tax state.
The tax. Mm-hmm.
So I built it in Delaware, and I'm like, so I had my, now I bought me a Benz. I had like a S550, 2007 Benz. This is like, the house was ready 2008. 2008, my house was ready. I built a nice-ass white house. Had it nicely furnished, laced out, had my car. And I'm chilling. I'm living like, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Living my best life.
Yeah.
And then social media came out. Yeah. 2009, 2010, Twitter came out. And I tried to go on Twitter. I was so late on Twitter. Like Kev, Lil Duval, D-Ray, all them niggas was already on Twitter. I was just too big. I was happy with my little 5,000 followers on Facebook. That was before they had like... You had a fan page on Facebook. Back then, just the most fans you have is 5,000. I was maxed out at 5,000. I'm talking, yeah, back then, I was talking to my 5,000 followers. I'm like, yeah, I'm good. I was happy. And then my boy's like, Mike, there's this thing called Twitter. I'm like, I'm not fucking bothering no fucking Twitter. And then eventually, he convinced me to do it. And I did it. And by the time I got on Twitter, somebody already had my fucking name.
Oh, shit.
This guy was Michael Blackson. And he was doing me. He's tweeting like Michael Blackson. Hey, punk bitch mother sucker.
For real?
I'm like, Dennis, back then you could make money off of Twitter then. So this nigga making money with my name, I'm like.
Did you get it back?
I messaged him. I'm like, dog.
It's me.
I said, listen, I'm the real Michael Blackson. He was like, fuck you pretty much. You know what I mean? I was like, listen, if you're going to lose my name, at least promote my shows for me. Because I had some flyers. I'm like, can you at least post my flyer? You know what I mean? This nigga wasn't trying to do shit.
Oh.
So I had to like, eventually I had to like contact Twitter, send my Weedy Pitica account, and then it took it from him, gave my name.
Did you read all the messages?
And then verify me. It started all over.
But hold on, let me ask you a question, because I think you hit on a good premise for you guys. Because some of my best friends are also comedians, you know what I mean? Like
Jack Thriller, that's my name.
Jack Thriller, Roberto, Roberto Vanderpool. Shout out to my brother. That's my brother, Roberto Vanderpool. You know what I'm saying? Shout out to my brother.
You know Will Sivens? Y'all know Will? Dang, he from New York. Will is like one of, you know, talent?
I've met him before. Okay. Yeah, I don't know him. Like,
you know Rob Stapleton?
Yeah, I know Rob Stapleton for sure. That's old school, yeah. But I want to ask you guys, I think it's interesting when you mentioned the social media component. It's like, for guys like you who really built your career off of the hard work of doing that stand-up, how do you feel when you see some of these social media comedians that... They kind of skip that process, and they do these little fucking 30-second skits. Mm-hmm. They become super popular, and now they start getting bags and network deals and TV shows. They make a lot of money. So how do you look at that? Like, are you bitter about that, or like,
no,
yo, like that, nigga, you didn't earn this shit the way I did?
Nah, never. It's a new era. That's what, you know what I mean? Even a lot of my comedian buddies from the old school guys like me, they did not jump on social media. You know what I mean? If you gotta follow what's going on.
They get stuck, yeah.
You gotta follow what's going on. Like the new, you know, but don't get it wrong, some of those guys, those 30-second comedians, some of them try stand up and they got booed and it wasn't easy. So just stick with doing skits, you know, but there was some that really developed into comedians, you know, like DC Young Fly, like Desi Banks and B Simone and like Just Hilarious. There was some that actually put in work to become stand-up comics, you know,
no disrespect, do you really consider them, and I'll say it, do you really consider them comedians on that level? You know what I mean? Because you got to look at it. When you look at people like you, Chappelle, you know what I'm saying, Tracy Morgan, like, y'all, it's to me, it's a different level from the work that y'all put in getting to that.
Man, you could tell by, you know, by their act. I mean, we definitely put in work. We definitely did the hardest work. I mean, I'm talking about back in when I started in like 94, where I had to like come to LA. I did Comic View. I had to Comic View.
BT
Comic View back in 94, right? I had to fly myself down, pay for my own hotel, and then get paid $150 2 weeks later after I'm done shooting it.
Wow.
I mean, we put in work. We went to open mic night. We did competition, you know? And these guys is different. They just, you know, social media kind of helped these new guys build their own audience. That's what they're doing. They build their audience, and then they're entertaining their audience. I can't get mad at them. It's nothing, you know what I mean? It's still up to me and up to other comics from my era So, you know, you already built up a stand-up career, you know, is go build an audience on IG, on Instagram, on social media.
So when you see them, do you feel like, and they, you know, they making some money and they doing okay for themselves, do you give them that love like, yo, y'all, you've arrived, you're on a certain level, or in your mind, you look at them like, yo,
no, I mean, I'll give
them, ain't there yet.
Yeah, I'll give them advice. Like some of them are there. DC Young Fly is really there. And DC went to open mic, you go to a comedy club. I mean, some of the guys that just, you know, just did the skits and then just try to go on stage, it was tough for them. So they had to go, you had to go to the comedy club and get that real audience and really get booed and know how to make your joke better. You know, now they're putting in work because a lot of them, I mean, some of them, because they have these 5 million followers, they try to put them on a show with us and they're getting booed. Ooh. You know? And then the promoter's like, okay, you know, go and get some, go study. Go to comedy, go on the real stage at the local comedy clubs. Go do that every week and perfect a good, some material. You know what I mean? So some are learning the hard way, but I'm not mad at those guys.
I saw an episode of comedians in cars getting coffee with Jerry Seinfeld and Eddie Murphy, mm-hmm. right? And it was a dope conversation they were having over breakfast. And then they were both saying that when they decide to go and do stand-up again, they go start from the bottom. And they'll go to like these little small comedy shops mm-hmm. and jump up in front of 30 people yeah. and all that. Like, and they're at that level and they're yeah. going, they have to go backwards that far back just to kind of get, you know.
Well, you have to, man.
Get the feeling.
You
back.
Can't take that stage for granted, man. You know, I mean, don't get it wrong. Now I don't do open mic at all because only because I don't have the time. But I'm so confident in my material, that if I want to try a new material, I might tweet it. I hate tweeting it because there's so many joke thieves out there. You know what I mean? So you got to be careful tweeting your joke because sometimes if I want to see how the joke work, I'll tweet it or post it on IG. And if, you know, if I get like an LOL or whatever, I get smiley face, I'm like, okay, this shit work. And then I add it to my act. But I'm so confident. Like, I know what my audience want. I know what make them laugh. And I think I'm at that point where I could sneak in a couple of new jokes. You know, but if, trust me, if I had a time to go in and go do those 30 people audience, definitely, man. That's how you perfect yourself. That's how, you know, that's how you grow. That's how you never.
Why does that make you better than doing 5,000, 10,000 people? You
well, because
I mean?
With 30 people, you could fuck up and nobody would know.
So it's the intimacy.
Yeah, it's the intimacy. My favorite audience, trust me, it's 10,000 is cool, but I prefer that intimate 250 people right there in my face. You know what I mean? That's why I prefer doing like those improv and Funny Bone and Helium's. And, you know,
Carolines
and stuff like that. Those intimate audience, 300, 350 people right there in your face, you know, because when it's intimate, it's so much better. You know, that's how we bet. You know, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing like that great 10,000 people. When 10,000 people laughing, that's a whole different feeling.
Hey, Mike, I think you're overdue for a Netflix special with 1 billion people watching.
I am. But I want to, you know what? I want to do something more different. I'm talking to some people now. I want to do... Because I've never done a special, I want my special to be some crazy shit. I want to do like a pay-per-view, like a boxing match, like a Showtime
That's
pay-per-view.
That's a great idea.
That motherfuckers yeah. pay to see. And then after, and then I could sell it later to Netflix or whatever. But I think that's what I'm leaning towards. So,
I actually just did a pay-per-view event. I did a celebrity boxing match with Peter Guns.
Trailer?
We fought in Atlantic City.
Well, y'all was an undercard for somebody else?
No, we were headliners.
For
yeah.
real?
Yeah, we headlined the card. It was the co-headlines. It was me versus Peter and then Lamar Odom versus Aaron Carter. So we were the co-headlines. And we just did that whole pay-per-view shit. And
what the fuck? How was that? Who won the fight, first of all?
I did, yeah.
But Google that shit. Make sure.
Google it, man.
So what? Are you guys really hitting each other?
Yeah. No, and the funny thing was that we spoke. Peter's like my big brother. I love Peter Guns. You know what I mean? And we spoke prior to this shit. And we was like, yo, man, we just going to, you know, play it around, give a good show for the people. This was the conversation. He literally, like, came to my room early that day, yeah. and we was chilling. We even had a shot together. You know what I'm saying? Like, we just, all right, cool. The fucking bell rings.
Ding.
We walk in. As soon as I'm like, okay, cool, I'm playing over here, like Cassius Clay shit. Peter just comes. Because he had Roy Jones Jr. training him.
Oh, shit.
He just came with some slide move and just, and I said, wow, that really hurt. You know what I'm saying?
What kind of friend is this?
He hit me hard. And I said, so I grabbed him in the first round. I said, Peter,
you want to fight? That's it, because we have to fight. You're hitting me hard. And he said, yo, Cisco, let's just fight, bro.
Damn, damn shit.
Fucking guy, man. So now we're fighting. You know what I mean? Like, for real. You know? But it was a dope experience.
How much did you make? Did you know?
Nothing. It was the fucking... So here's the deal with pay-per-view.
You got knocked, you got punched in the face for free?
I got... Well, I mean, no. I mean, I didn't work for free, but...
It wasn't great money.
Let's just say... No, it wasn't great money. And let's just say this. The pay-per-view game is really fucking funny. Like, you really got to be on top of that shit. Because what it is it's recoupable against all the expenses that put into those boxing matches, those events.
Oh.
So they got to get all that shit back first, the promotion company, and then you'll get the percentage off of whatever the profits are, you know, so...
So you got to hype them up, do all that crazy
do all that
shit.
Yeah, you do all that shit. You know, I enjoyed it for the experience. You know, I thought it was a good time. We had some fun with it. But would I do that shit again? No. I think what he's talking about is dope, though. That could be the wave of the future for them. You know, like, because they have these built-in audiences already.
Yeah, they do. Pay-per-view does have this built-in audience.
And like, for you, like, I don't know why you would do that when you could probably just cut an upfront deal with a Netflix or whoever.
If they come up with it, you know what I mean? I'm going to have my agents look.
So it's the number?
$100 million.
Chinese best friend.
$80 million.
Stop capping, okay? They're not going to give me no
75.
More. They're not going to give me more than they give Dave Chappelle. Okay?
65.
These motherfuckers are not. I'll take something reasonable. I know what I want.
Like what? Mike, say
it. I'm not saying
$50 million minimum. Netflix, you listening? Chinese.
They're not gonna give me $50 million Chinese best friend. They give me,
Mike, quit. You're the funniest guy in the world right now.
I would quit after. I'd be like, thank you, God bless you, good night. I quit. And then me and Rod are just gonna have a whole bunch of Africans. We just go start making birth to like a bunch of Tiger Woods. Just me just vacationing, just fucking everywhere. It's official, Motherfucker. My Patreon page is now live. My weekly Titty Tuesday and Twerking Thursdays are moving exclusively to Patreon, where they could no longer be censored by the social media companies. I will also be sharing daily updates plus show announcements here first. See you on Patreon, you mother suckers.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
Mike, the whole world is waiting for your Netflix special.
Mike, so when we were talking about this yesterday, you said some interesting shit too. Like, when you... First of all, I was surprised that you was even doing reality. I didn't know you was doing reality television at all. I was fucking shocked. I'm like, what? They said, no, Michael Blackson's here. You got to get out. You know, he needs the room. I'm like, what? I didn't even know that he was shooting this shit. I knew Claudia Jordan and everybody else was doing it. I didn't know you was doing it. What made you decide to do reality television? What's the benefit for you?
You know what? It has a whole different audience.
Yeah.
It has a whole audience, and I'm like, hey, at the end of the day, I'm just trying to get more audience for my stage. I want to sell out more, you know. And those reality shows have an audience, a great audience.
They do.
And not only that, believe it or not,
young it's audience,
unscripted. I don't have to remember no fucking lines, and they pay more money. They pay a lot more money than movies and all of that shit. So, and like I said, I want every audience possible. So when I go and I do my special, the whole world is watching it.
The whole world watching.
It's for the audience and it's for the money, and more people watch that fucking shit than
Mike,
they watch.
Everybody fucking love all your posts on social media is millions of views.
Chinese best friend.
He told me, Mike opened TikTok. He goes, Chinese best friend, fuck TikTok. I opened him one, got like over 300 million views. Like, he's got 2.1 million followers.
He on social media?
On TikTok.
I have what?
You have like over 400 million views on TikTok.
Chinese best friend, you can't.
It's a true story. There's 13 million on one video with that girl.
All right, so this season, look out for him on
Love
and Hip Hop Reunion. And you guys, so are you going to do Love and Hip Hop? Are you going to be like New York? Are you going to be LA? Are you going to be Atlanta? Are you going to be Miami?
LA better.
That's a great question. I'm literally figuring it out right now. Because it's all geography for me. Like where do I want to stay long enough to do that shit? The beauty of what we just shot, it was great because it was a couple weeks, you know. But when you do Love and Hip Hop seasons, people don't realize that's 9 months.
Yeah.
And it's full access to you. Like, you can't, everything has to come.
Whoa.
They got to come first. You know what I'm saying? So.
Damn, you got to shoot for 9 months? Yeah. So, is it shot at your house? Or they like, you guys use your real places? Or?
Yeah, I always have. I've always used my real places. Okay. And then, but then, you know, locations and shit and green screens.
Oh,
you know,
and you,
yeah, they just hit me today too. I got to do green screen for family reunion.
Right.
So now I got to probably fly just for that.
So you got to go to Atlanta for that? Where is that?
The good thing about the franchise is there's green screen stations in every city, major city. So
LA, Atlanta, Miami. Because when I did the last green screen, we did it in Miami for last year couples retreat. So yeah, so that.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, yeah. We flew to Miami for that. Me and Ryan.
So hold on. Would you do?
Like my family show.
No, I'm saying, would you do Hollywood?
Nah, I would do. Rada came up with a great idea. I don't want to. I'm going to put it out there. I'm not sure. Should I put it out there?
Say it, Mike.
Come on, man.
Do like a love and comedy. You know what I mean? Where comedians and their loved ones, stuff like that. So that would be a great idea. Like, I grab a couple of comedians and and be like love and comedy. Go through their family life and, you know, kind of what you guys did. They'll be comedians. So it would be on the funny side.
Yup, I love it. I'm going to call Mona right now for that.
Yeah, hit up Mona.
That's a great idea, Mike.
I'm going to run with that one.
I have a question, sir. Do you get a bonus if you punch somebody in the show?
No, you get get deducted.
Huh?
For real?
Deducted? Yeah. What? What the fuck? So Bad Girls Club, they're all broke.
Listen, man, you get deducted. I got deducted so many fucking times.
For real?
For real.
100%.
Oh, shit.
But I probably shouldn't say this, but I don't give a fuck. Here's the crazy part. I'll always get like a Christmas bonus that will equate to the deductions that I got throughout the year. So Cisco, you know, we can give me a little bonus, and it'll absolutely add up to the every dollar they took from me.
That's probably what they're doing. They probably just giving me money back.
So it's kind of like, hey, don't do that. But hey, thanks.
Thanks for doing
it. It's a great fucking TV, man. You know what I'm saying?
No, you should try it again with no punching this time and see what the Christmas bonus look like.
No, but I think it's all fun, man. We all
need some punching.
We all do it and it's fun, and I never take this shit like serious. You know what I mean? I enjoy it. It's work. You know what I mean? To be honest.
All right. So you're single now. I mean, are you seeing anybody particular? Do you want to see anybody? Like, what is your plan? You want to stay single? Like,
no, I don't want to stay single. You know?
Because you used to be married. Is that why?
I love married life.
Yeah.
I think it's the shit. Yeah. It's just. Especially for, you know, we're entertainers.
Yeah.
So we're artistic people. You know what I mean? We need somebody there to like hold us down and just be there and be like that support. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I don't necessarily like being single. But
what kind of woman are you looking for? Like
they're listening right now, sir.
Skinny woman, built like a crackhead, like a healthy, thick
woman. No, I like my women really, really thick. Healthy and thick and voluptuous. You know what I'm saying? Like that's my, even like I like, it's crazy, I like a little belly.
For real,
I want to be able to put a pencil inside your belly and the shit just don't move.
Like,
you know what I'm saying?
Get stuck?
like a roll, like it gets stuck. I like a little belly roll.
Do you eat ass? I'm curious.
I'm Puerto Rican. I eat ass.
Okay.
Twat. I suck toes. Don't bring your feet around me.
Fuck.
If your feet are beautiful, you don't want them around me.
Yeah, if her feet look like mine, it's a wrap, right?
What if she's voluptuous with that kind of feet?
I can't do it. I got to pass. And I've had that happen. I promise, that's happened to me before. I met some beautiful women.
It's like Boomerang. Remember Boomerang?
Of course, Eddie Murphy, yeah. Yeah. And but I'm always going to look first. And I'll ask a girl, can I see your feet? You know, just like, so I don't have to waste time going to dinner and doing all that shit.
Oh, shit.
Because I'm not going to want to go further than that. So if I meet you in the club or whatever and I think you're interested, I'm like, hey, can I see your feet? And when they show it to me, I'm like, okay,
what
cool.
What kind of feet are you looking for? Because there's a lot of voluptuous girls listening to our podcast.
Okay,
toenails.
Here's the thing. So, no, I can't do the bumps and the bunions and stuff like that.
Okay. Oh, like wear heels all the time?
Well, it's no. Like would they have a foot on top of a foot.
A foot on top
shit,
of a foot.
Never seen one before.
And the second toe can't be super longer than the big toe. That
second toe is...
Mike, am I tripping?
No, you're not tripping.
I can't do the second long toe. That's like...
Like the one thing and the next one longer?
Yeah, like the big toe should be the biggest and it should go down like that, like a landslide. It should
A landslide.
It should be in perfect symmetry. You know what I'm saying? And that's, you know, if the feet ain't right, then I just lose it.
Okay, single ladies, you heard him. Nice feet, fat ass. He will eat your ass. He'll suck your toes. He will eat the coochie. Will you eat a coochie on her period or not?
If I'm married to her, yes.
It's nasty.
I would.
Okay.
I'm a nasty motherfucker.
Hey, what's wrong with that, Mike?
If we're married, sure.
He's talking about eating a pussy on a period. This guy like ketchup on his fucking hot dog.
No, I'm not going to stick my tongue. We can say this? I'm not going to stick my tongue.
Yeah, you can say it in our show.
Okay,
your
I'm not
tongue,
gonna
stick- you're putting your whole hand.
No, I'm not going to stick my tongue in the hole.
Okay. If,
you know, I'm just
the clitoris.
Yeah, yeah,
that's a very smart
word. You're still going to taste a little blood, though. You're going to feel like you bit your tongue or something.
No, but you wipe it down a little bit if you know that's the case. Mike, you don't run the red light?
Nah. Me and Rod argue all the time. She be trying to make me run that red light. We've broken up before.
Rod, is that true, Rod? Is he capping right now? Okay, I'll leave it alone.
You look guilty, Michael Blackson.
I don't like
Rod, we have extra
there's times where she's forced me. You know, it's almost like I've been molested.
Molestation.
What, to run the red light?
Yeah, it's like she forced me to doing it. So
what do you do during that? Because a woman's cycle could last a week, two, you know, 10
Three
days.
3 weeks.
That's a long story. That's where I get my side chick.
Okay, okay, cool.
I get one a month. All right, on that note, I want to thank all of you.
Do tell, Michael Blackson.
We want to thank everybody for joining us. Yes. My man, Love and Hip Hop.
Yeah.
Reunion coming up very soon. Look it up on VH1. Ladies, he's single, nice toes, fat ass.
Even nails.
She could be hardworking or lazy eye.
That's and a job. I don't want no broke chick.
No broke bitch.
Yeah.
Must have a
that's
job.
That's a lot of you got qualification.
That's no, it's not. Chinese best friend.
A lot of girls don't have jobs, Michael Blackson.
Not just California girls
COVID-19
don't have jobs.
COVID-19
okay?
Right now.
How do you guys know each other? I think this is like such an interesting dynamic.
Yeah,
right?
Actually.
Long story. I met this guy at a Chinese buffet. Or you can't eat.
Yeah, like, hey, you like this? Yep.
We actually met in this, it was like a party. Yeah, we met in this, like my buildings to throw parties for the residents. And him and one of his buddies had a unit on the 14th floor. And
you guys roommates?
No.
Okay.
Now him and his buddy just had a unit here just where they to party and bring the bitches there. I hope your lady not listening.
That was the time I was not dating any. Well, yeah. No, I don't know. She's not listening to this, Mike.
Good. I'm glad she's not listening. But they used to just like, you know, have parties in their unit. And then they had a party for everybody that lived here. So I met him at one of the parties. They had a party in one of those penthouse units because it was empty. Like I told you, when I moved here, I was the only one on this whole floor for a whole year. The rest were empty because they cost too much motherfucking money. So, but it is what it is. You heard my niggas. Love and Hip Hop reunion. Look it up. Ladies, single. Go in that DM.
Voluptuous ladies only.
How can they reach you? What's your IG?
Just type Cisco in IG.
You got the Cisco before the...
I'm the most
Cisco
popular.
Cisco paycheck? You know, Cisco is paycheck.
C-I-S-C-O.
If you just type Cisco _ Rosado, but you can just type Cisco.
And it'll pop right up.
And then I'm yeah.
Okay, Rosado. All right. Well, hey, man. It was a ball. Thanks for joining us.
Thank
I wish you a lot
me,
of
brother.
Luck.
Thank you, brother.
I love my hip-hop, and I hope you fucking punch Peter Gunn's back in his fucking throat. Appreciate you. We out, mother suckers.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, fella.
Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.